What do you suppose piddling little families with only five or six children do with themselves?
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
You've given me a massive headache. Teach
your children well. It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart is brought to you by the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa and True North Mortgage Corporation of Arlington Heights. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
Ah, for the unerring wisdom of a child. It's just the two of us, said one single mom physician in Manhattan of her daughter, age 11. That makes us more like partners in some ways than parent and child. That's the crux of the recent piece in the New York Times by Stephanie Rosenblum, Mom and Daddy's Little Life Coach, talking about the kids. That mom is hardly the only one. Rosenblum chronicles the rise in children who advise, more like coach their parents, and everything from relationships to real estate deals. Another mother who has a top job at a literary firm seeks advice from her 17-year-old because she respects how she looks at the world. The daughter says she never feels like she's stuck in the parent-child stereotype. My question is, that would be bad because why? I would argue that a whole lot of 17-year-olds would benefit from being in a parent-child stereotype. You're listening to Betsy Hart on It Takes a Parent. And I am joined here today by my friend and producer, Lynn Carlson. Lynn and I together have nine kids, which drives the population, zero population growth folks completely nuts, and we're happy to do that. And I just look at something like this, and I'm just thinking, what are these parents doing? Are they completely nuts? One single mom says of her 17-year-old son, he advises me on everything. Lynn, I don't know about you, but I don't really let my children advise me on a whole lot of stuff. I mean, they let me know they don't like things I cook for dinner and that kind of thing. I just don't think I'm ready to bring them in and have them advise me on my relationships or real estate deals.
I'm finding it hard to believe what I'm hearing. This is just completely moronic. Everyone that has kids either knows or ought to know that they are not inherently wise. I'm not saying that they're not cute and funny and clever.
But so are cats. I just got two new little kittens, and they're really cute and clever.
But they're not wise, are they?
No, they really aren't. You know, I mean, this is the thing. Here's the thing I'm not getting. And this article goes into great length and explains how more and more parents are really deciding that their children have this wisdom. And I've been seeing this for years. That's what I wrote my book about, It Takes a Parent, is this notion we have in our culture today that these children are coming to the world, all evidence to the contrary, wise and virtuous and full of important things to teach their moms and dads. And did you see the movie Mean Girls?
No.
Okay. Watch it. Don't watch it with your kids. But there are parts of it that are very funny. Actually, there's one part where this girl, one of the mean girls, sees her boyfriend with her old boyfriend with the new girlfriend. And so what she does is she instantly gets on her cell phone, calls the girl's mother and says, Mrs. Smith, this is, Susie Carlson from Planned Parenthood. It's very important that your daughter call us immediately. So she's saying, well, that relationship is going to end, obviously. But in any event, I digress. So there is this scene, though, in the movie where the mean girl is just her mother's best friend. And so the girl goes over to the mom's house, her own mother's house, and she brings her friends over. Meanwhile, the mother and her friends come over, and they're just all this sort of one big sorority. And the mother's doing everything to say, am I cool, Mom? Am I your friend? Can't we, can't you bring your friends over and we can talk about our boyfriends? And it's really, it's a joke. But then you read in this New York Times article, that is what's really happening. They have one mom who talks about how her child advises her on her dating life because she wants to know how he sees the world. And the problem is, she says, her own son, her 17-year-old, is so wise and thoughtful and sensitive and funny, it's hard for her to find a guy in the dating pool like that. That's just sick.
It's bizarre. And I don't think we need a movie, and I don't think we need a triple-line study to tell us that kids aren't wise. Just drive by any one of the Chicagoland middle schools in the dead of winter, and you'll see the kids walking into school with flip-flops on. Now, you know what? I don't know about you, but I'm not going to look to somebody who doesn't know enough to put on socks in Chicago winter, and I'm not going to ask them for real estate advice.
Yeah, or what to do about a relationship, or how they think I should handle thus and such a situation at work, which is what these parents are doing. But this is just this symptom of how we have just completely lost our moorings as a culture. You know, there used to be this understanding, you know, call me crazy, but that parents actually knew better than their kids. They actually had some wisdom to offer. You know, I mean,
or the self-confidence to realize that they knew better.
Yeah. And you know, our parents, I mean, you know, I know your parents, and they were a lot like mine. They didn't walk around all day saying, what do the kids think and how do they feel about this? A lot of time is, you know, it really doesn't matter what you think about this. We're the parents and we know best. You know, sure, tell us what you want for dinner. Maybe we'll all talk about where to go on vacation. And, you know, I'm sure that you do the same thing with your kids I do with mine, which is show me how to use this program on the computer.
Absolutely.
But I'm not looking at them for wisdom or guidance in life's decisions. And we have this weird, weird situation happening where we really think our kids are wiser than we are. And, you know, historically, we've had crazy parenting fads. I mean, who was that guy in the 1930s who actually told parents not to hug their kids? And people really listened to this bimbo. But nonetheless, even then, there was some understanding that one generation had wisdom and guidance to offer the next. We've completely lost that.
And didn't the article refer to single parents in general?
Yeah, and in fact, they said that was one of the big reasons that we've seen this rise. It was lots more single parents. So too many parents, unfortunately, in single parent families. One of the many problems with divorce, which we're going to talk about, is that too many single parents then look to their children to be their confidants. The author also looks at, and she really quotes some great people who say, look, we have this multi-billion dollar industry devoted to convincing kids and their parents that the kids really do have this inherent wisdom. So they should be the ones guiding decisions on everything from the new minivan to the vacation to real estate purchases to investment advice. But there's just this aura that my kids really know so much and I can benefit from their wisdom. And I'll tell you, here's my own personal theory. This is my, you know, Betsy Hart personal theory of why this is the case. I think it has a lot to do with the loss of religious values, that we need psychologically to see our children as coming into the world full of wisdom and virtue, maybe needing, you know, a little parental nudge here and there, nothing major, don't want to really ruffle any feathers. We want them to be our friends, little guidance here and there, because overall they're pretty darn good and wise and virtuous. Because if we can believe that about our kids, then we can believe that about us. And then we don't really need to worry about all this needing a savior business, which for a lot of these people quoted in this article apparently would be an uncomfortable idea. But I, for one, am only concerned that my children like me when they're 30, not so much when they're 13. Anyway, moving right along to another place where I think we have really, really fallen down in the culture is something that we were all hearing a lot about just a few days ago, and that is the Alec Baldwin, Kim Basinger blow up. And folks, I know we've talked about this to death, but this is something you haven't heard before. Now, we know several days ago this came out, and, you know, Lenny, I called you right away on the phone, and we were talking about this and just saying, oh my gosh, you know, this is just so awful he would blow up at his child. And I'm not going to play it on the air. I'm not going to play a clip. I don't want to revisit that. You all know the conversation. There was a phone message left on his 11-year-old daughter's phone, calling her a pig and various other names and so forth. And then, you know, we thought about it for a little bit and said, you know, if it's true that Kim Basinger, the ex-wife, really released that phone call, that, I think, is a lot more wicked than his original blow-up.
Really, I can understand his emotion far more than I could understand the releasing of a tape like that.
I mean,
that would have, you know, just huge ramifications.
Yeah,
his
I mean,
daughter.
At least, you know, what he said was awful, but it was obviously in the heat of a moment, it was a blow up. Now, I'm no fan of Alec Baldwin. Frankly, I do not like the guy. I think he's arrogant. He's extremely liberal. I've actually been on programs with him. I don't like him. I have, you know, I bear him no sort of, you know, false sympathy here. But if the mom released that tape, then I think, and that's something that didn't get discussed very much, I think that is far more extraordinary. But the real issue here, and far more, you know, really malicious, but what's really the backstory here, Lynn, and what we're not getting is that, guess what, folks? This is what divorce is.
Yeah.
This is the tragedy of divorce. And, you know, I don't care who you are, if you're the multimillionaires or you're just the average couple to whom this is happening. That's what we're not getting in this whole discussion.
I mean, our divorce system almost ensures that a husband and wife are going to despise each other before it's over if they didn't already when it started. You know, first they start fighting over their stuff, then it pours over into the custody issues and the visitation, and then the attorneys march in and they pour kerosene on any fire that they see.
Yeah, and you know, and here's the thing: as a lot of our listeners know, I am what I refer to as unwillingly divorced, and I'm one of many. I'm finding probably millions of people who are in the extremely difficult situation of very much not wanting the divorce, and then you're left there literally watching your spouse walk out the door and into a new life and stay there. So after a while, you get the hint it's not going to change. You have to move on with your life. But you know what I'm finding? People in that situation, we don't have any illusions that divorce is going to be great or is going to solve problems. We seem to sort of get it. Oh, no, this is just the beginning of much bigger problems. I find that oftentimes the people and the people I talk to this day who will come to me thinking I'm going to be very sympathetic to the divorce they're going through will sometimes say, oh, I'm just, you know, looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to starting over. I'm looking forward to a new life. And I find myself in the position of saying to them, you know what, if you've got kids, trust me, it's especially if you have kids, not only if you have kids, but especially it is not going to be what you are thinking it's going to be. Why? We've talked about this because you've got the same problems. Now they're just in two different households.
I couldn't agree more. I think really what's more interesting about the Alec Kim issue is that, frankly, what we're seeing is some typical divorce behavior. I mean, let's take into a fact that, you know, they're not like us because they're filthy, stinking Hollywood rich, okay? They're fighting over their Learjets, and we're fighting over our crock pots.
And they're beautiful. I mean, not that we aren't. Alec's a little pudgy these days, but whatever.
But, you know, I find a lot of what we're seeing in this divorce to be, well, typical. The obvious rage they have at one another, their desire to destroy each other's reputation, using their kids as pawns to hurt one another, bad-mouthing one another to their children. I think it's those behaviors that are far more harmful to a child than some cell phone tirade from a dad who, I think, frankly, really loves his kid.
Yeah, well, you know, and I hope he does, and I certainly think there's reasons to believe that, but this isn't, like you said, this isn't really about Alec and Kim. This is about the backstory of what divorce really is and how destructive it is. And I just think in our culture we have this notion that divorce is somehow, in so many instances, is healing, or it will somehow fix or salve a difficult situation. And I got to tell you, I just don't see that. I just have not seen a situation where two people willingly choose to go through a divorce and then later on don't have far more problems than what was ever going on in the marriage.
So you're saying they're not just even trading one problem for another, but you think the problems actually typically get worse.
I think they get much more significant because then there's no common groundwork anymore to work through some of these things. And I think this idea that you can have a good divorce is just a complete myth. And I really encourage people who are thinking through this, who have any kind of choice. I'm not talking to folks who have been victims of divorce, who have been left behind in that situation. I firmly believe God can and does redeem that. And we can talk about that when we come back. I'm talking to those folks who are thinking of going through this. Do not think you will avoid the Kim and Alec nightmare, because that's what divorce is. It's wrenching. It's destructive. And by definition, that's kind of what you're asking for. But we're going to talk more about that when we come back. And you know what? I have a great giveaway when we come back, and I want you to stay tuned for that. A fabulous pedicure at Zika's Nails. In the meantime, we're going to take a break. Stay with us on AM 1160 WYLL.
When your child says,
"Why do I need to learn this?"
The truth is,
"I don't understand it."
When your child says,
"I don't like school."
The truth is,
"Everybody reads better than I do."
When your child says,
"Who cares about college?"
The truth is,
"I have bad grades."
Recognize the signs. Call Huntington Learning Center at 1-800-CAN-LEARN to help your child do better in school. The truth is, Huntington can help. Your child can learn. Call now, 1-800-CAN-LEARN.
Huntington Learning Center is now open in Lake Villa. During the month of April, get a $200 evaluation for your child for only $75. Plus, meet firsthand the teachers and tools that Huntington Learning Center uses to help each student succeed in school. The $75 evaluation is only valid at the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa. Call 800-CAN-LEARN to make your appointment today. That's 800-CAN-LEARN. Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa on the southwest corner of Deep Lake Road and Grass Lake Road in the Tower Lakes Crossing Strip Mall. True North Mortgage is an equal housing lender and Illinois residential mortgage licensee.
True North Mortgage, providing direction in residential financing.
From the beginning of my application inquiry through and beyond the closing, True North Mortgage was there with me, answering all my questions and concerns.
They analyzed my particular life situation and provided me with a lending choice that made the most sense for me, giving me peace of mind well after the closing.
You don't want to regret your mortgage decision. It's a long-term commitment. True North Mortgage will give you direction and will help you save time and money by shopping for the most competitive rate for your lending needs. True North has access to 250 different national lenders. And for a limited time, True North will provide WYLL listeners with free appraisals. At closing, up to $250 credit will be given to cover appraisal fees. Call Gene or Leslie at 847-621-3800. That's 847-621-3800.
You are back with Betsy Hart on It Takes a Parent. I'm joined in the studio by friend and producer Lynn Carlson. Together we have nine kids. We love driving these zero population growth folks nuts. And now we're talking about divorce and about the, you know, Kim Basinger, Alec Baldwin situation, this terrible blow up they had. You know, Lynn and I agree that if the mom actually did release the tape of that phone call Alec made to his daughter, then she's really, really did a vicious thing. But what we're coming to this conclusion is that this is what a wrenching apart of a marriage produces. And I just don't believe those folks, something I've never actually met one, but if I met one, I just don't think I would believe those folks who told me, you know, we had a good divorce and everybody's doing so much better. I just think it's pie in the sky, and they're not considering what's going on with the kids. Especially you have these situations where these poor kids are going back and forth, one week at one house, another week at another. I really think that, you know, in situations where one person demonstrably ended the marriage over the objections of the other, if the other was not, you know, just because one person files for divorce doesn't mean that they're responsible for ending the marriage.
True.
You know, sometimes if your spouse, if there's unrepentant adultery or abandonment or whatever those issues are, sometimes your hand is forced in that. But nonetheless, that the person responsible for ending the marriage should have to cede custody to the responsible parent. I think that would force a lot of people to think more clearly. Am I really willing to make my kids go back and forth house to house every other week? I wouldn't want to do that, Lynn. I wouldn't want to rotate in and out of my house one week in, one week out. How can people ask their innocent children to do this? I think it's a tragedy. On the other hand, you know, that's a situation where you have two people who are both saying, oh, we're going to go on and have these fabulous lives and do this to our kids, and we're going to get through this difficult divorce, and everybody's going to come out better on the other end. I don't buy it. On the other hand, there are a whole lot of people who really are victimized and left behind by divorce. And here's my thought, is that I think it's a fair thing for those of us who are in that situation to look at divorce as the very wrenching and destructive situation that it is. It is not God's plan.
Well, Bets, the stats back you up on that. I mean, children from divorce are more likely to have academic problems. We've all read these studies. To experiment with illicit drugs, to engage in early sexual behavior, to live in poverty.
All that stuff is absolutely true.
Whether it's a divorce or a bad divorce, that's still true.
That's right. And those of us who have gone through it for whatever reason have to be honest about the risks that face our kids. I do think sometimes we sugarcoat divorce. And on the other hand, I think there are a lot of people who are sort of saying, but wait a minute, I didn't want this. Are you telling me that God can't help me to overcome this? And my word to folks like that is to say, look, it is very destructive in the same way that death is. I mean, you look at Jesus left at Lazarus's tomb, not because he couldn't raise Lazarus. He knew he was going to do it, but because he was weeping that sin and death and destruction had come into the world. It shouldn't have been that way. I think divorce is one reflection of a very, very broken world. But God redeems brokenness for his children all the time. And I think we have to look at it a lot like cancer. You would never say, oh, cancer is just another sort of health status. It's just as good as being healthy. It's not. It's a tragedy. It's a wrenching. It goes against what should be a healthy and whole world, but it's not. So if you face it, you say, okay, this is like cancer. You and I, Lenny, both know people who have been through cancer and have said, you know what, it was a terrible and destructive experience, but God used it for my good. He brought good out of it. But nobody in their right mind would go through cancer and say, oh, you know, this is just another different health status. It's no big deal.
No, they're honest about it. They call it what
right.
it is.
So you have to face in a situation like this with divorce, you have to face it head on and say, it's kind of like a cancer. It is a destructive thing. It's a broken thing. But for God's children who trust him, whether we're left behind in the case of a divorce or whether we cause a divorce and then come to repentance of it, God can use that for our good. He can cause good things to come out of it. And I know in my own situation, absolutely not wanting this at all, never having wanted to have been divorced, nonetheless, I have seen God work in this and give me a joy and an encouragement. Even little things like, you know, when my kids used to run through the house, it was kind of nice. I like, as you know, I have a real chaotic house, and I've always kind of liked that. Now when they run through the house laughing, it's like, you know, it's not just music to my ears. It's the Philharmonic, you know, it's so great. And so I think if we look at it that way, we can find incredible healing, but we can't do it if we don't see divorce for the destructiveness that it is. And I think our culture wants to do one thing or another. Most of the time it wants to say it's a quick fix, no big deal, you'll all get through it. Or we have some people saying it's so destructive that no one can come back from this.
And neither one of those extremes are really true,
yeah,
are they?
I'm saying, you know what? There's suffering, but God can use suffering for the good. But you know what?
And God will meet you regardless in your suffering.
Exactly. But let's call it what it is. We only have a little bit more time. You know what? I almost want to call this the heart upbeat minute. We're so happy. Rosie O'Donnell actually got the boot from The View.
Woohoo!
Yes. And you know, I mean, the great thing about that is it was time. It was just so time.
It was
and
past
I loved,
time.
Right. And I love the, you know, the press releases that come out and so on and so forth, trying to make it sound like this was just all such a, you know, mutual decision and everybody's really happy about it. But you know what? In the wake of Don Imus, in the wake of some of the truly extraordinarily outrageous and offensive things that she has said in weeks past, really ever since she's gotten to the show, and you can see, you know, you can sort of see Barbara Walters like just dying that she brought this situation onto the scene. So
one might ask her why she was hired her in the first
place. Yeah, well, I think that began to be part of the problem. So I think they decided that situation had to end. So, you know, I don't know. I would like the producers of The View to know, you know, Lenny, we're available. I mean,
yes,
I think we would be a great addition, and we could sort of bring some balance to the panel. I mean, Elizabeth Hasselhoff, what is her name? I mean, she's nice, but you know what? She needs to step it up a little bit. I mean, I think she could be a little bit more aggressive in defending some of those viewpoints.
I agree, but you know, we can't solve every TV problem here today.
No, you know what they should do? They should get rid of The View and just have us.
Oh, well, that would be the solution.
That would be the solution. I mean, we could come on, you know, a couple of, you know, Christian gals with all these kids and
just what the liberal media is looking for, Bets, right? That's just what they're looking for, a couple of good, solid conservative gals.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we could bring some refreshment to the air. So I would like to just make
put your resume out there on the media.
And let them know. We could definitely straighten out a thing or two. If only the world were run according to Betsy and Lynn, I think we would be better off. We are coming to the end of our show, but I want to tell you about a great giveaway that we have this week, and that is Zika's Nails in Western Springs. Friends, guess what? It is pedicure time. That's where I get my nails done. There are very few problems that getting a pedicure can't fix. So I definitely was there this week and enjoying that. Zika was kind enough to give me a gift certificate worth $35 for a pedicure. It's fabulous. The fabulous chairs, the massage, all that good stuff.
And it's almost flip-flop time.
Almost flip-flop time. That's right. Now the girls can wear the flip-flops. Exactly. So we would love for you to go to my blog. That's how we're going to do the contest this week. Betsy'sblog.com, no apostrophe. Go on to my website. You'll see the contest. You'll see the contest rules. And tell me why you need a pedicure, or guys, why the gal in your life needs a pedicure. And the best response I'm going to give
keep
that.
Keep it clean, though. Keep it clean.
Keep it clean. That's right. And that's right. This is a family show. And I'm going to give that pedicure away next week. I will announce the winner. So go to my blog, betsysblog.com. I want to thank our sponsors, and that's True North Mortgage Corporation of Arlington Heights and the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in. Would love to hear from you about the show. And friends, remember, finally, brethren, as Paul said to the Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. See you next week at 2. Have a great one.